live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 191. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, to join, as always, on Man of Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Brandon Reif, Crossroads Sports. What's good? What's good, man? I'm so excited about what I'm excited coming out of the holiday anyway. You know what I'm saying? Coming out of Thanksgiving holiday, dude. I got a daggone ham and turkey hangover. But I'm so excited to, you know what I'm saying, to kind of talk about what we had to talk about tonight, from college football to the NFL. And hell, we have a great, I'm so excited, tongue twisted, man. We got a great interview tonight with independent and indie wrestler Jake Ullman tonight. So again, man, without further ado, I know usually you give the rundown, and I know you're going to get the specifics. So, man, please lead us there.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got NFL talk, news and notes from the league, some big pointers from the weekend, Colts, Bucks, quick recap of Colts, Bucks as we look ahead for the next week. We've got college football. We're approaching championship weekend. A lot of conference championships going on. So we've got those talk about. We had the rivalry games this past weekend, Alabama, Auburn, Purdue, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State, all those to talk. We've got Tanner joining us at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll go through that, give our picks for the conference championship game coming up. We've got the coaching carousel in the college football world. My God, that's just went crazy in the last week. We've got that to talk about a little bit. NBA, a little bit of NBA notes. And I've got a stat. I started looking up for Reggie Sykes today. So I've got a stat for him because we are actually we're one game away from the apology, where on these airways, Reggie Sykes said that he would apologize to me if after the first 25 games, the Indiana Pacers have not improved. Well, they're second to last in the conference and 9-14. So Reggie's going to have to kiss up there and apologize. Hmm. And a little bit of a little take on wrestling, I guess a big take on wrestling. We've got Jake Ullman calling in as well, talking to him about the indie market, the White River Wrestling. He's got a big match coming up on the 12th of December. Also, I want to talk, John, a little bit about the epic promo, as you can call it, last week between CM Punk and MJF. I think that's the one we all wanted to see. We got a little piece of it already. Right. And then the big news, I mean, the big silent news, let me leave it this. The big silent news is that as of 12 a.m. this evening, Major League Baseball is in a major lockout, and this could go on for into the spring and summer, just so everybody knows. That's how big this is. It could go into the summer within this MLB lockout. Both sides this evening have decided they are done talking. And the lockout will start at midnight tonight. Huge, it's huge ramifications. I'm just going to go ahead and call that now.
I feel like you know what I'm saying, Major League Baseball is not going to take up our time tonight. But
No, not at all. But I'm just saying
I feel like that's what they do, Brandon. I feel like that's what they do almost every 2 years or so. They lock out, you know what I'm saying, because you got billionaire owners, you know what I'm saying, at odds with multimillionaire and literally multimillionaire baseball players over, like, what? You know what I'm saying? Because the revenue, I don't get it. The money split is still favors the billionaires ownership. Right. We still got guys, pitchers and MVPs making $253 million in Major League Baseball. You know what I'm saying? Some guy just, you know what I'm saying, just signed for another $300 million playing baseball. Can you imagine? So again, I don't know. I know we probably won't touch it a whole lot tonight, other than like what we're saying right now. And we probably won't come back up till like April. Probably won't come back up till like April, right? When they're still fussing about how many games they're going to play versus how many games they don't want to play or whatever. But you know what I'm saying? My goodness, man. It's something that I think they do it just to keep themselves in the media in the wintertime.
Could possibly be. I just want to make everybody know this could have ramifications into next summer. So it's
right.
Other walkouts they've been able to somewhat fix quickly. From everything I've read on this one could be a big one. So, but first, John, I want to dive in. NFL. I want to talk Colts, Buccaneers. Buccaneers win 38-31. Colts up 17-7 into the third quarter, and a huge strip sack by Shaq Barrett on Carson Wentz turned the whole tide around. Colts went away from their running game, John, they had a shot at the end. They finally start giving Jonathan Taylor the ball once again. How many times have we talked about this? And then Tom Brady leads him down the field to Leonard Fournette, 4 touchdowns, 100 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns rushing, 1 receiving. Lenny, Buccaneers win. They improved to 8-3. Colts fall to 6. A lot of people upset Jonathan Taylor in the game plan, giving the ball in the second half like they did against the Bills, but was not done.
Yeah, it's a monumental failure by the game planners. That would be the coach Frank Reich, right? Brandon, I don't even know if Marlon Mack was available, or you know what I'm saying, some of the other folks we have in the running back room. So if that was the case, this is like 2 days over, it's crying over the spilled milk, right? I've heard everybody's take from to local radio here, and yeah, Jonathan Taylor should have had the ball in his hands. Your best players, that's what you want to do. You want to have the best players with the ball in their hands at some point in the game. It discourages me, because again, if you're worried about, I'm speaking about Coach Frank Wright, if you're worried about, you know what I'm saying, his player usage, Taylor's player usage being, you know what I'm saying, being too much, then why'd you keep Marlon Mack for? You know what I'm saying? Why do you have Nyheim Hines? You know, and muff punt aside, Nyheim Hines still a big part of this team as far as the rushing is concerned. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Up 10 points, you know, you're trying to outsling Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? You call him the GOAT. I call him one of the best, whatever. It is what it is. We know there's unless you have an equal Aaron Rodgers on the other side, quarterback, and or Peyton Manning, you know what I'm saying, a quarterback, and you're not going to outsling Tom Brady from that position, you know what I'm saying? So again, why don't you play to your strengths? So I'm sure.
And I kind of called it last week. I went back on the show and listened. I said, as long as Frank doesn't try to do an ego thing and have Carson Wentz outsling Brady, they should win the game. And guess what? They did. They tried to have Carson outsling Brady,
yeah.
And it didn't work. Here's another stat for you. I'm Mr. Stat. Colts are 0-6. 0-6 this season when Jonathan Taylor has less than 100 yards rushing. 0-6. Guess what they are when he has 100 yards rushing at least.
Right, right.
6-0.
Yeah,
doesn't take that position.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. So again, I know modern football says it's the quarterback's lead. The quarterback's got to do all the leading on the field. I get it. I also get it that the secondary of Tampa Bay, they had some guys out either pregame or during the game. You know what I'm saying? They weren't able to return, right? But again, at some point, that's all going to come back to, you know what I'm saying? That's all going to come back to bite you in the butt. So, I don't know, man. 6-6, man. They are what they are. You know what I mean? They got to further dig themselves out of the doldrums. They got to further dig themselves out of, you know what I'm saying? And potentially now, the more you lose, you ain't gonna need anybody more help from other teams losing. So yes, Tennessee lost this past weekend, but you know what I'm saying, that didn't help because the Bengals won and the Ravens continue to win.
Right.
So. You got to get at least 10 wins to even have a chance. 11 wins would probably cement it. So 11 wins, they had to go on a 5-game win streak, right, to get 11 wins. But you're going Coach right now up against the got to get back against the wall. You know what I'm saying? And yes, they're gonna get some feel good this weekend because they play the Texans down in Texas. But again, man, each game matters in the NFL, and we've let a handful of games. You know what I'm saying? We being the Colts, right? We've let a handful of games slip through their fingertips.
Yeah, absolutely. So like we said, Colts at Texans, then they have a bye week. And then a Saturday night game against the Patriots here in Indianapolis. They're at the Cardinals on Christmas Day, home against the Raiders, and they finish with the Jaguars. So currently right now they are 10th in the AFC, only a game back or so. They had a great chance, John, to catch Tennessee, who was two games, who just lost to the Patriots. Still Tennessee's up two games, three if you really count the tiebreakers and all. So it's like you said, you are what your record is. My Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I was busy at work all day on Sunday. I didn't get to watch anything besides little highlights, and then the TV that was on at work. Saw the score, and I actually took Cincinnati this week because I figured we had no chance. But it's woo. If Tomlin says there's going to be wholesale changes, I don't know if that's the offensive line or what it is, but Big Ben was getting destroyed. Big Ben threw some picks. It just further solidifies that this is it. This is done. Get the season over with. I'm fine us losing the rest of our games the rest of the way, John. Get us out. I said, what did I say our record was going to be? I said 9-7 or 7-9. Get us out. Get us out of here. Let's get to the offseason. Let's get draft a quarterback. Let's go get the dude from Pittsburgh. Let's go get somebody in here to lead this team now because it's getting ugly. Cincinnati whooped our ass. Which is fine. I'm okay with Cincinnati whooping our ass because there's been plenty of years we've returned the favor on the other side, so we were doing ass whooping at some point.
Right. It's bad seeing the team kind of go out like this. I still think they end up probably floating around 500. I mean, not 500. I still going to win with a winning record. Got a
breaking news. Breaking news here at 6:13 p.m. We haven't even got to the world of college football yet, but we've got breaking news. Insiders have learned that Marcus Freeman will be named the new head coach at Notre Dame. The coordinator of Notre Dame will now step up and be the head coach. Marcus Freeman named new head coach at Notre Dame.
That's non-interim.
Non-interim.
Non-interim. Interesting. Interesting.
Kept it in-house.
That's cool. That's fine. I mean, listen. You know, Brandon, I know. You know, what I'm saying, we can go to Pittsburgh Steelers anyway, right? Because they're headed for they're headed for the first round of the NFL lottery. But man, I thought Brian Kelly. You know, I thought he jumped the gun just a little bit. I thought if he wanted to go, I get it. I get it. It's $95 million. I get it's $95 million, and you're out. But there's some potential possibility that Michigan could lose this weekend. There's some possibility that Cincinnati could lose this weekend. And then somehow, some way, one lost Notre Dame team could jump, could like leapfrog an Oklahoma State team that everybody thinks automatically gets that plug in. But I don't know, man.
I'm fine with Kelly doing what he had to do to leave immediately, and you leave him high and dry, John, because it's the NCAA. And in the end, this is the NCAA's fault, because when they went out and changed all of the recruiting timelines, because you have to have your first recruiting class, your recruiting class has to sign in 2 weeks. So you've got to jump ship from Notre Dame and immediately go to LSU, because you've got to go out there then and make sure, hey, You're going to get your guys that were coming to LSU. You got to sell them on that, that you're coming in there, or even sell the guys that were you going to get at Notre Dame to maybe go to LSU. But as somebody said today, there was never going to be any Notre Dame candidates, players ever going to be able to live up to the level of LSU. But that's another thing. Hearing that, I have no problem because you have to do what you got to do. Just as much as Notre Dame has to try to save face and get a head coach hired quickly so then they can go out and try to save the recruiting class they have. Hell, you saw what – and we'll talk about it later. I don't want to drop into college football now. But that's what Lincoln Riley did. And now like, he got all his recruits to head out to Southern California with him on the boat. So I have no problem, which I've had two people now – that I'm looking, say, Marcus Freeman named head coach. I'm still waiting on one of the big names to officially put it out there. So unless I'm getting duped, which it takes a lot for me to get duped, I've got two people saying it, which is weird. At the same time, I'm getting two different people saying it. So if that's the case, then Notre Dame needs to do it because the committee said last night, John, and I had to watch it afterwards at the Purdue game, committee said last night they will take into consideration this Notre Dame team not having their head coach, which you have to because this is a totally different Notre Dame team.
I don't know. I again, Brandon,
it is
the players still the players still determine what kind of happens on the field. I get it. Different play calls don't call different play calls. You know what I'm saying? Freeman might be more of a, you know what I'm saying, obviously he's the coordinator. His mind might be wrapped, you know what I'm saying, his mind might be more inclined on that end. But, again, I think the players determine the fit. I just thought, so, again, I hear everything that you're saying, getting down there at LSU, starting fresh from day one or whatnot. I do believe the interim of that team still is going to go to, you know what I'm saying, LSU is still bowl eligible, so the interim, Brian Kelly's not going to be coaching on the sideline.
No.
For this, you know what I'm saying, for whatever bowl game that they might get. I don't know. I get it, $95 million versus waiting to see if we get our name kind of called, if Cincinnati loses. I know a lot of ifs, and, you know what I'm saying, $95 million, there's really no ifs, ands, or buts when you get that kind of money. So I kind of get all those things, but I don't know. I think, you know what I'm saying, with Notre Dame to switch over from Brian Kelly, because, you know what I'm saying, he's not coming back, right? That kind of speaks volumes about them and about what they kind of saw the lay of the land as far as to potential coaching candidates they want to come in. Hiring an internal candidate, even though he doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of head coach experience at like a small university, kind of speaks volumes in their trust into his brand and what he's going to bring to Notre Dame. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's probably still – I don't care what nobody says, regardless of what DCOP might say or anybody else that might call in and says Notre Dame ain't, you know what I'm saying, ain't crap of a program. There's going to be a lot of pressure, you know what I'm saying, to win. You're following a guy now who had a 75% to 77 game. You know what I'm saying? I get it. He never won a national championship in the years that he was there, but still, man, how many winning seasons where the Notre Dame was, you know what I'm saying, they played four times, I do believe, for the national championship, albeit they got blown out by Alabama, you know what I'm saying? But again, man, he always had that program there. So that standard is going to have to be met. But you know what I'm saying, like I said, we'll see.
Did you see who's the interim head coach for the bowl game for Oklahoma?
No, I haven't. Who is it?
Bob Stoops.
Oh, wow.
They hired him. I read the contract today online. He's getting paid $325,000 to coach him the one game in the bowl.
Nice. So that kind of maybe already tells us where they're leaning towards on their next hire, huh?
You think he'd take that back over?
Well, I think I do believe his son coaches. Don't his son coach in Kentucky? I thought.
Yeah, but he just got a new contract yesterday.
Man, what are these contracts to Kentucky or Oklahoma? Come on, man.
He's got a huge payday.
I know.
He's getting paid more than Calipari. Does that tell you something?
At Kentucky? Yeah, that's big.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, They threw the bag at him.
Wow.
So we'll talk more college football. Like I said, I've not seen
it.
any more talk on this right now, but man, if that's an insight to saying that that's the leading guy. NFL, yeah, Steelers got their ass whipped by Cincinnati. I'm fine with it, is what it is. John, Patriots. Patriots continue to dominate, whoop Tennessee's ass. They've got a big one Monday night now in Buffalo. John, Patriots are sitting on top, tied for first with the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens don't even look that good with against the Browns and Lamar having four interceptions. Right now, Patriots sitting back on top of the AFC just like nothing happened.
Yeah, if you again, I think we ran down who we thought would be the favorite in the AFC last week. I'm not necessarily going to do that exercise right now. The shakiest number one would probably be the Baltimore Ravens. I know a lot of people love Lamar Jackson, and he is Superman for that team. But isn't really the real MVP of that team Justin Tucker, the kicker? You know what I'm saying? I don't think he missed like maybe two kicks the whole year. And you know what I'm saying? Like, hell, if they don't have him, they don't beat Detroit, right? You know what I mean? If they don't have him, the 16 points that they did rack up against Cleveland this past weekend, I do believe he was responsible for at least 9 of them. You know what I mean? So, but again, man, you know, a kicker hasn't won the MVP since like 1982, way before you were born. I was still in second grade, so the odds of that kind of happening are kind of slim. But I got no, man. So we transferring over to the New England Patriots, man. When I think about them, they are a defensive led team. The defense kind of leads the team. You know what I'm saying? They want to, they want to get takeaways. They want to get strip sacks, all those things. That's what they do. And then the quarterback doesn't put them in, the powers to be, right? He doesn't put them in a bad position. As far as a whole lot of throwing where he's throwing the ball to the other side. You know what I'm saying? I can't say this is anything resemblance of the rise of Tom Brady when he took over the reins from Drew Bledsoe, you know what I'm saying, 4 score and 7 years ago. But this is the team that Bill Belichick built over, you know what I'm saying, through free agency over the past summer. And again, the kid has shown enough moxie to not F it up. You know what I mean? So you have to take that into account. Dude, like I said, the evil empire is back, and they are, do believe, like a game and a half up on the Bills. And if the Bills lose this weekend, which they have potential to do so, even though they did win the last game, they look kind of weak in the last two of their last three. Man, nobody's getting fired anytime soon in Buffalo, but again, that just kind of makes for the playoff picture for anybody, whether it be the Colts or the Pittsburgh Steelers or Cincinnati, it kind of makes the playoff picture even that more jumbled because, damn, you telling me somebody when we first started our show and, you know, probably was going to be a Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying, somebody, you know, thinking the Bills was going to make the Super Bowl, now you're talking about they're potentially in a wild card. Man. So, I don't know, man. Like, again, you have to just marvel at what Bill Belichick has kind of built rebuilt over since the divorce of him and Tom Brady, right? And just kind
Bills
of think of what is –
The Bills are half a game back. Patriots have 8-4. Bills are 7-4. And then they play this Monday night against each other. So,
yeah. Yeah, so it's gonna be a class of the champions, class of the Titans, right? All those things, man. People should be watching that game because a lot of things are gonna be on the line. But again, you're not gonna want to play rookie quarterback or no, man. Nobody wants to play. They're probably one of the hottest teams right now in that's football league, and that's the New England Patriots. I hate to say it, but it is what it is.
Should have Mac Jones been drafted, number one quarterback drafted?
That's going to be a no for me.
I think just because
who we have running the team, you know what I'm saying, versus look who we have running and this is no running the other teams, man. No, and that's total disrespect to the New England to the New York Jets, and not so much Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is just not familiar with the style. You might know football, but there's a difference between college football and professional football. Right, and as we all see, if the New England Patriots had the number one overall pick, there's no way they would not have taken, the Golden Boy from Clemson versus Mac Jones. So again, Mac Jones might get some type of nod at offensive rookie of the year, just because he's put that particular team, you know, of course, you remember, it's quarterback league, they're the face of the franchise, all those things. But talent for talent, you know what I'm saying? And if you put Trevor Lawrence in that position, they might not have lost. How many games have the New England Patriots lost? Four? They might have lost maybe two. You know what I'm saying? That would have been scary. You know what I mean? So, but I would not be surprised if his name kind of gets called or is mentioned, rather, for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Not at all.
Yep. In about a minute and a half, John, can the Dallas Cowboys, the real Dallas Cowboys, please stand up?
Stop the bleeding. No, man, they got a COVID outbreak amongst the players and amongst the coaching staff, man. A lot of pressure. A lot of times people kind of talk about when it refers Dallas, man, it's a lot of pressure, you know what I'm saying, when the owner, you know what I'm saying, it's constantly reminding you about, how, you know what I'm saying, Super Bowls that they run in the past, and the owner is a football man himself. It is what it is. He played for the University of Arkansas 1,000 years ago. You know what I mean? But I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm not saying that's what's happening with them. But that shadow, you know what I'm saying, it looms large over that organization. So it's odd, Brandon, that they have such a good rush game. Even the backup running back, I think last year put up like 900 yards or something crazy, man. So you have enough you have staff. You know what I mean? I get it. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? The receivers are out. But you got to be – but you got staff enough to win games. You know what I mean? You do. You have staff enough to win games. They had a thriller with the Raiders who, you know what I'm saying, who are kind of a brittle team, you know what I'm saying, themselves. But, you know what I'm saying, championship teams don't make no excuses, Brandon. You know what I mean? Real championship teams, if you're missing – as long as you're not missing your quarterback, And probably your, you know, I would say your top defensive back, you know what I mean? Championship teams don't make excuses, man. They still push through and win the games they're supposed to win. So when you say the real Dallas Cowboys stand up, you know, it kind of reminds me similarly to the circumstances of the Patriots in this regard. They have to have all their players out there playing their best to win to dominate a game. That, and even in some of their wins, even though the win differential has maybe benefited where they won by, you know, 13 or 12 points, it still was always seemed like a close game, it felt like, you know what I'm saying, where it could have went either way in some of their big wins. But I don't really think they have anything to worry about. You know, the Washington football team is still right there. Even without a great quarterback or anything resembling as such, they're still right there. Potentially could make the playoffs if they win a couple games here or there. You have I'm not gonna say dysfunctional Eagles team, but they've been able to string together some wins. The Giants, you know what I mean? But as far as the division, I think they got that. That's not a problem. But they had Super Bowl aspirations, and right now they don't look like a Super Bowl team. Just because, and again, I get it. You know what I'm saying? The receivers are out or whatnot. But again, you can't. Championship teams don't make no excuse.
Right. Okay. John, I want to dive over to the other scene. I want to go to college basketball now. Been a heck of a week for games. We had the Maui Invitational, all the feast weeks last week. We had big matchups. We had Gonzaga and UCLA last week, and the day before Thanksgiving, and Gonzaga just whipped that ass on UCLA. Took it to them, and then Gonzaga took on Duke Friday night, late one. My God, what a heavyweight championship fight. I fell asleep in the second half. Because the damn thing just starts till 10:30 at night.
Right.
It was something. Drew Timmy, as good as he is, John, he does not handle the bigs very well when he's got to face bigger guys than him. So I think that's going to struggle for him for the next level of the pros. But Duke became your number one team in the country. They went from number five to number one. The Boilermakers, who thought we had a shot at being number one. Purdue ended up being the number two team ranked in the country. Fast forward to this week, ACC Big Ten Challenge. State last night, won by 30 or so, 90. It was 93, 60 something, 65, I think, last night. I was at the game for Crossroads, so got to see some of the old friends. Got to talk to Coach Brantley, and got to ask Coach Painter out in the hallway what the hell's going to happen with our Pittsburgh Steelers. So that was fun to be able to ask him that question just off top, just like off the record in the hallway.
Right.
But the Boilermakers dominated, John. Leonard Hamilton had great things. I wrote some notes from the game. That, you know, some of the things Hamilton talked about, and this is the best team that he's seen top to bottom roster wise in a long time. They're a good sound team. Credit them to an early season of playing well, playing together. He usually takes some teams, the great teams, some time to gel, but this team has gelled very quickly together. This team has Final Four written all over it, he said. Ivy's elite. He will be successful at the next level. And he says that's the bad thing is you might not have him for a very long time. That's how I kind of hinted his press conference. Florida State, they really needed more experience. They needed experience playing. They had both their seven-footers were both out. So they had a backup a third person was a seven-footer in there. But they're young. They need playing experience. They're going to be okay. They hung in there with Purdue. Every time you thought Purdue was going to pull away, Florida State kind of battled back a little bit. And then the three-pointers by the Boilermakers and forcing the turnovers end up dooming Florida State in the end. I thought, you know, one of the questions Matt Painter was asked in the press conference, John, was what was the struggle or what area that still you see this team needing to do? It's kind of getting into the offense, when you got ball pressure, getting up the court, getting into that offense, decision-making, and not just kind of waiting it out. So that's the struggle he says they're trying to work on. They're just okay defensively sometimes, is his statement as well. He said they needed to work on their defense a lot more. Wasn't too pleased with everything overall. And then I heard a quote from Coach Painter that I said it last year, and Nick Peterson, our college basketball guy, had it on here with us as well. We talked about the type of players that Purdue recruits compared to the type of players that Indiana recruits and why one team is more successful than the other. Because we said, Painter gets the guys that fit the program, that fit the system, right? Right, John? We mentioned that last year. While IU goes out and gets the star player, the five-star, and hope to God it will work. Painter's quote last night stuck with me, and I wrote it down, John. He goes, at a program here, Purdue, we're better at evaluating talent than going out and recruiting it. So they're not going to go out and get the five-star. They're better at evaluating the guys that they get and finding that best way to get them at their best for that team. And I think that right there was what we talked about last couple years, and he hit it on the head. They're better at evaluating than recruiting. I thought that was huge.
Well, I can't say they got shitty recruiting. Pardon my friend.
No, not at all. But
but Indiana All Stars, or even like Illinois All Stars, versus McDonald's All Americans or potential G Leaguers. You know what I'm saying? Are a little bit different recruiting than what Purdue is kind of brings in and gets to commit. Yes, they are. Again, man, I'm glad for him, happy for him, you know what I'm saying? Our friend of the program who we had on last week, Coach Brantley, kind of spoke to not the team not getting too high and not being, not satisfied for just beating North Carolina, or beating Villanova, you know what I'm saying, getting up for games, you know what I'm saying, big games like this. Say what now?
Said he called you out last night as well. He said, where's Bird at?
Oh, did he?
I said, Burke's going to make a trip. I said, you're going to be able to get him up here for a trip to West Lafayette. I said, I got his credentials sitting in the media office. All he has to do is go up here with him.
That's where I was at. We'll finish the show off with that, man. But, like, no, man, like Purdue's sitting in a good spot right now. I don't want to wish bad on them. I think they could even sustain an injury. I don't think they will. They play smart. You know what I'm saying? He isn't overextending anybody for that. For Coach Painter, for that matter.
as far as player minutes or anything like that. I think they look at each game, whether it's Omaha or Iowa, as a test. And as they knew they got the Hawkeyes this weekend as they start Big Ten play, they look at them as a test and how far they can keep. I don't think that in their back of the mind they're thinking, oh, man, we want an undefeated season. They just want to see how far they can go. And it's definitely an honor for them to be, ranked 1, 2, or 3. Be honest with you, that's the perception I kind of get from anybody from the coaching staff. Be honest with you,
they're about to be number one.
right, about to be number one, which hasn't happened, I don't believe. Hasn't happened in the modern era, not even when Glenn Robinson.
The highest ranking they have been was number two, and that was back in 1988.
Wow. So it's funny, Brandon, and I know we're going to transition just a little bit. It's funny, man, that once we start talking about it, the whole world, or at least the indie market kind of chimes in. Still local radio, local TV, still ain't got jumped on the Purdue fan wagon just yet. Not like they should. I feel like I'm an IU homer. I grew up watching IU and Bob Knight, all those things, right? But I feel like this morning they talked more about the IU loss.
Yep.
And they talked about the Purdue win and how dominant the Purdue Boilermakers look. Again, I like your evaluation of the Florida State team. My evaluation is probably going to be two different things, Brandon. I think Florida State always the last three drafts they turned out a first rounder. So Leonard Hamilton is, tough minded coach, but he gets the one and doneers. They might not be as glamorous as what Coach K gets or what Kyle Power gets, but he gets the one and doneers or the two and doneers and turn guys and pro guys. So again, man, and there's gonna be some guys remember that guy that could kind of come up later on in the season for Florida State. I can't wait for the day when it probably won't be till Purdue plays, I don't know, probably IU, and then the local media around here are trying to figure out what they had, all this time. So again, because Brandon, look at the teams they beat the class act of the ACC in North Carolina and Florida State, and they've beaten. Villanova, who's probably gonna win the Big East this year. Be honest with you, And if that was any other program, man, they would have laid out a red carpet, and Coach Painter would have been busy as hell with media and all this, that, and other. And that necessarily hasn't been the case. So again, this won't be the last we hear of this Florida State team. We're gonna hear about them once the ACC play starts. Man, I'm not saying they're gonna win the ACC, but they're always with Leonard Hamilton and Florida State. They're always in the top 5-4 of the ACC when it comes to like who's gonna win that league or whatever, who wins that tournament or whatever.
Right.
So again, man, I can't speak more proudly. Because they are a friend of the program, You yourself have, this is like your second go round with Painter and your Pittsburgh Steelers love, both of you have for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, our good buddy Coach Brantley, who comes on the show from time to time. So again, I'm proud of Purdue. I'm happy for them. I want to see them just like as far as they can go. And if that gets into the Final Four, and to the Final Two, so be it.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to sit courtside with Coach Brantley last night, about an hour or so before the game. The team was just kind of doing some shoot around. So I got to sit there on the court and kind of sit there, just talk with him off record on things, just on the season. And, like you said, it's business as usual for them. They don't mind playing, having the low radar, player. Now people know of Purdue. I mean, let's be real, but them not getting the recognition, all that's something they don't really care about. Us fans, and some may, we do, because damn it, everybody else would get that recognition and not them. Like you said, they're going to spend 20 minutes on talking about the Indiana Hoosiers losing in double overtime after they up there against Syracuse where they couldn't stop the Boeheim brothers. But so that'll be interesting. Boilermakers look good. They've got a big one Friday night. Iowa comes to town. Iowa just beat Virginia on the road the other night. a last second shot. So Iowa comes to town for the Big Ten opener this Friday. Boilermakers should be ready. Travion Williams, John, coming off the bench, the dude has accepted his role. And not only was he may be one of the best passers, big man passers in college basketball in a long time. I can't think of that. We tried talking last night. I can't think of another big man passer over the years that's been a great passer in college basketball than what he's done. He made plays last night selling out. He made blocks last night. My guy, Caleb Furst, looked great last night as well, the freshman there.
Mm-hmm.
Team is stacked. Like I said, Final Four or bust for this team. Speaking of bust, John, we got our buddy on hold here. Let's bring him on. What's going on, D-Cop?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing tonight?
Good. I was doing really well until I saw that the one national televised game that the Pacers had this year just got flexed out.
You know, that's disappointing, right? We got so many directions to go. I don't want to kidnap the time, but I want to hit that really quick. I'm able now to watch the Pacers on Fire Stick. If I'm not at the game. And it's tough because if TV and the money and all this isn't right for the Pacers, the attendance is going to continue to drop, and the care about the Pacers is going to wane because you can't see them. I mean, my hookup is good, so I'm able to watch the Pacers now. But most still, we're looking at about 75% of the folks aren't able to watch them. So that's right. A problem in itself, man. So why – if the fans aren't coming out, you saw the attendance drop from last year to this, what, year, 2 years ago to this year. That's, I mean, no one wants to watch them. No one wants to go to the game, but they can't watch them. So it's tough, man. It's kind of painful being a big Pacer fan that I am, but I, you can't say anything other than it's money. So that's painful. And we got a bunch of good players. We just don't have any great players. And right. I would flex us out too.
Yep.
You know, I mean, just call it. I mean, that's, and this is from a diehard guy. This is from a bandwagon guy. So, you know, so be it. We got to deal with it, you know. Second part, you know, I'll hit really briefly. Colts wise, they had the game. They lost it. They missed their opportunity. They had an opportunity to gain a game on Tennessee, and they didn't do it. It wasn't surprising that they fade at the end of the season. And you can blame Nyheim Hines all you want, but he doesn't throw interceptions, and he doesn't miss blocks. Uh-oh. So there's enough blame to go around.
Right, right. Hey, you know. D-Cott, you've been very cordial in your analysis. So thanks for calling in, man, by the way, of the Pacers.
Absolutely,
and,
man.
And
you're
the
my guys, man.
But Saturday, man, I very rarely see you go Facebook Live.
Because you had to
be on pins and needles, man. I like to watch a great game. You know what I'm saying? Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Auburn had them, but they couldn't close the deal.
Let me share this with you, right? And as a Bama fan, the only game, and this is, you're going to say I'm crazy, the only game this season that I thought Bama would lose was LSU. When LSU was driving, they were down 6 with less than 3 minutes to go. I didn't think they'd lose against A&M. I saw all those turnovers and mistakes. I said, we'll win in the end. Auburn, the end of the middle of the third quarter, I had a fling. This is honest to God. I said, man, I told Tornado, this is going to be tough. I said, I don't know if we can do it. And I swear to you, I got a call from little mama, my oldest grandbaby. And I kid you not, she told me she loved me, and she says, Roll Tide, Pop Pop. And I swear to you, man, I kid you not. And it just happened. So, of course, she'll be at the house on Saturday, but for sure, right? But what I saw was this. I saw a team, and I've told people this all season, everybody's big game is Bama. Remember the Florida game? Remember the LSU? Remember, you know, A&M? It's everybody's big Mississippi State, Ole Miss. And you can't measure that, especially in the SEC, because all of those teams are hyper-talented, right? But I'm going to tell you this. Bama's getting 6 or 6.5 right now. Bama is not the Bama of old, but I'm going to tell you this. They're still Bama.
And it doesn't matter. If you win, and win. That's what I believe, man. If
right,
you win a game,
right.
You're right.
And, you know, I'm going to tell you this, right? Bama's offense is markedly better than Georgia's offense. That's the positive. However,
right.
Georgia plays like 2018 Bama on defense.
I believe that's correct, too. Yep.
That's
yep.
Right.
That's my fear.
But, Decott, you'll agree with this. This year, we still haven't had that dumbass Kirby Smart game where he just overthinks it and does something stupid. I feel like it's coming.
Well, you know what? You may be right, you know, Brandon, but here's the difference I believe, right? I believe they going in there, listen, we can't be beat. We've allowed 6 points a game all season on average. Yeah, we saw what Auburn did to them. As I think, now here's what I believe. Those young men are going to say, you know what? If Auburn could do it, we can too. The difference is, though, Georgia, you got a little bit of a bull's eye on your chest too. Those other teams were inferior teams from the beginning. This Saturday is the first time in 91 games where Bama has been an underdog. 91 games. So you don't think those four or five stars are going to be ready to roll? That's what I think there may be a difference. And watch that right guard. That young man, Emil Ekafor from Cathedral High School, I love him to death. He's got some fire in him, man. And he's been hit. He was hurt the last few weeks, and this past week he got a little bit more healthier. And I believe Saturday he'll be right. And just watch that right side of the line.
We should expect another call out session from you on Facebook Live and all your Bama haters. You named them all.
Well, hey,
I thought me and Brandon's name was gonna come up.
No, hey, you guys aren't haters. You guys aren't haters. And people were messaging me during the game, and I'm gonna tell you this: I never do play by play when Bama's playing, so I don't engage. So people are saying, "Hey, you know, you're quiet, you're scared." No, I just never engage when Bama's playing. You look my history, but I said, you know what? Because they were lighting me up pretty good, right? So I asked, so the tornado showed me, says, "Dad, let me show you how to go live." So I did that. That's why I did it. Right?
Gotcha.
I expect Bama, don't know, big picture-wise, if they'll have the fight on the defensive end. Yeah, you've got some guys that some dogs on the defensive end, but Georgia has about 8 dogs on defense. And I think that may be a difference.
Right. I look at it, Georgia's toughest game was probably the most unforgettable. The first game everybody kind of forgets it was against Clemson. If Alabama can muddy the waters up like Clemson did, I think Georgia has grown as a team, as has Alabama, right?
Right.
As a team since game one. But if you can get any type of muddied up rock fight game like they had against like Georgia versus Clemson was, man, I kind of see why the line is only 6. I like Alabama's offense. But then here's the thing, Brandon and Decott. I also like Ohio State's offense over Michigan.
Another rivalry game. Hey, but JB, another rivalry game though, man.
And
people were clowning me saying, "Oh man, Georgia's going to win by 40," considering how Bama played against Auburn. What they don't get is these rivalry games, SEC only Michigan and Ohio State in the Big Ten. That's different. That's a different game, man. If you watch those games, you understand, Auburn has 4 and 5-star players also. They've got grown men. Auburn, and this is the analysis, Auburn had 32 seniors. They've got, and they had 44 upperclassmen, meaning juniors and seniors. That's the difference. They had men over there, right? So, and then men who have, an axe to grind against the team that's taking over the state. So I believe it's going to be a very, very competitive game. And if Bryce can make some plays – oh, I'm glad I mentioned this. Remember I told you guys weeks and weeks, I said Bryce has to be better outside the numbers 30 yards down the field?
Yeah, we talked about that,
Yeah. And, well, he missed a couple early in the game. But the big one.
He also had damn near 500 yards in that game to pass it.
Yeah. But if you remember, JB, and I said it, I said he's got to be better outside the numbers because teams are giving him outside the numbers. That's why that touchdown was there, man. They were playing him for the middle of the field because his vision is there because they were pressuring him on the outside. And the difference was he had a little bit more time, and he hit it on the – that young man can make those plays outside the numbers 30 yards down the field. Bama's going back to a title again.
Oh,
I'm just telling you. And it's the last thing on the Bama thing. Listen. Bama has 20 underclassmen that are playing, that are starting out of the 22. They got four guys they'll lose this season. If you don't get Bama now, I got bad news for you for next year.
Well,
everybody on defense is coming back other than the defensive tackle, the Varus Mathis, the left tackle, running back Brian, and then one other running back, left tackle, D tackle, and also safety.
All right. This is like talking Detroit Lions. Let's go.
But no. Detroit hasn't won. Come on, man. Detroit hasn't won a thing.
I'm just saying, we got to cut this Alabama talk. We got other stuff to talk about.
Okay. Next stop. Okay, fine. So, last but not least, I love the fact your boy, Brian Kelly, is going to LSU. It's a big win for Bama. Big win. He's a fish out of water. He's not an LSU guy. LSU always has talent. His talk about, talent. LSU always has talent. That's nothing new. You got to coach him up. LSU is going to always have
You got no love for Brian Kelly, but the numbers are the numbers, man. So listen, man, he got a 70% winning percentage as a head coach at Notre Dame. And that's with
The last 10 years, USC has been garbage. Last 10 years, who else have they played that's strong? USC.
They beat Clemson last year.
Well, yeah, but that's one out of 5-6 years. Their rivalry game, they haven't played Michigan.
Four of his nine losses in his career at Notre Dame have been against the eventual national champion, just so you know.
I understand that. But listen, I understand you have Power 5 wins. I get it. But these aren't Power 5 teams of Power 5 of yesteryear. USC's done nothing in 10 years. Virginia. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid, man. LSU's going to always have talent.
You may have to coach him there, but there's better recruits coming down there. He doesn't have to coach him up as much. The recruits are better no matter what.
Sounds like a Notre Dame fan, and that's fine.
I'm not a Notre Dame fan at all.
He gets chirped by Notre Dame fans.
Notre Dame comes in all the time.
I'm telling you, we can always agree to disagree right now because we don't have the real facts. But I'm telling you, LSU's going to have talent. My concern is, well, not concern, but my happiness is, I don't think he can relate to those type of young men down there in the country. Country people don't like phony, arrogant people. He's a phony and arrogant person.
Oh, man. I would say he's a better. I thought he was as good as Ed Orgeron. I think him and Ed Orgeron about even.
I'm with you. But here's the edge of what Orgeron has. He's a country boy from there. That's what I'm saying to you. He's from there. Those are his people, man. I can't wait to see it. I cannot wait to see it. As a matter of fact, I've already making plans for the LSU Bama game next year.
You might not want to see it, man. Every pundit, every analyst I've listened to all this week said the LSU job is probably the easiest way. I'm not saying it's easy to win a national championship. That's the easiest way to win a national championship is with that particular university.
The last three head coaches there have won a title.
I know. I've heard all that. The last three head coaches, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Still got to be able to beat that big dog that is just east of you.
You know what, Decott? I think we heard the same thing a while back when somebody who coached at Michigan State left and went down to Miami and then was hired at Alabama. What's this Northern guy? What's this guy doing?
You just gave me a layup. But Nick Saban had won a national title in Baton Rouge. That's the difference. People are missing that. That guy won a title in Baton Rouge. So this isn't like he's some new guy who we've never seen. Brian Kelly is a guy who is not relatable. We can talk all we want. He is not relatable. Go back to 2010. Go back to 2013. And I'm telling you, I love it. It's great
for
them.
You want to put a wager on next year for LSU?
How about this? How about we do this wager? How about we go down to Baton Rouge and take in the game?
I'm down for that too, but let's go win total.
Listen, they're going to win games. That's a given because it's LSU. They'll win probably 8 or 9 games next year. Absolutely. They'll win. The question isn't about them winning. The question is, are they going to be that threat in the West that's going to dethrone Alabama? The answer I'm telling you right now is a resounding absolutely not.
Mm. May not be the first year, but the second year, I bet they could get them.
Okay, next year they're playing in Baton Rouge. They won't win because the talent won't be there. The year after they're playing in Tuscaloosa. It ain't happening. I'm just telling you.
Alabama tonight. Woo!
But listen, we have the conversation. It's okay, man. But you know, listen, I'm back.
You're that type that says LSU will never beat us. LSU will never beat us. LSU will never beat us. And then guess what? They go out and they beat you.
Brandon, you never heard me say that.
Come on. That's all Alabama fans.
LSU has major talent. They're going to always be close. Brian Kelly isn't the difference maker is what I'm saying to you. You guys are saying Brian Kelly's that difference maker. I'm telling you he's not.
I feel like all you're doing is trying to compare Brian Kelly Notre Dame talent against Alabama when there's going to be a lot better talent down at LSU for Brian Kelly to take on Alabama. That's what I'm saying. That's the difference.
Talent-wise, you're 100% right.
So he's not going to go down there and get his ass whipped by Alabama. It's not going to be an ass whipping.
I'm giving you kudos, man. You're right regarding the talent-wise. But I'm just telling you, that coach, Brian Kelly, isn't that guy y'all think he is. That's all I'm saying. You can fatten up on Navy. You can fatten up on Toledo. You can fatten up on all these other schools. That's fine. Now you're with the big boy.
Wait a minute.
The coach of Oklahoma ran.
Alabama plays New Mexico State. Stop it.
Hey, listen, whoa, wait. Jonathan, you are not going to sit there and act like you're going to compare Alabama's schedule with Notre Dame.
They played the Hurricane. The Miami Hurricane?
Take away the world power five. First game of the season. Absolutely. Listen, you know what? We can do this thing all day, but I'm going to tell you, I know you got other callers, but I'll tell you.
It's all good, man. Alabama, they be dodging that Big Ten. They be dodging that Big Ten. Notre Dame don't dodge the Big Ten.
Oh,
ever.
Lord.
Hey, hold on, everybody, real quick. John,
go ahead.
Now, John, I want you to be prepared because I don't want you to fall out of your seat.
Please don't tell me he's on the call. Please don't tell me.
No, he's not. But Alabama, I mean, John, they got to play Utah State next year. They got to play Louisiana Monroe. They got to play Vanderbilt. I mean,
that's three. Now you got to play LSU. Come on, let's go now. LSU, keep going.
I am. Okay, so let's see. Layup, Utah State, layup. At Texas, layup. UL Monroe, layup.
Texas,
Vanderbilt,
Monroe.
Another layup.
Austin, layup.
Five of your games are layups, just like Notre Dame.
Okay,
Notre Dame has a better schedule next
Notre
than
Dame
Alabama.
Has nine layups per year. Notre Dame has nine layups per year.
Notre Dame's schedule next
on,
year
man.
Is better than Alabama's.
Brandon, at the beginning of the season, you and I talked about this, Brandon. And when you went over the schedule for Notre Dame, I said they may lose one game.
We talked about that. There was no way they had – they're playing Sisters of the Poor 8 weeks out of the season, man. And they got boat race at home by Cincinnati, who will get boat race by 2 touchdowns plus and whoever they play in the playoffs.
John, can you answer me a question if I give you a question?
Texas A&M. Go ahead.
So I just gave you the schedule for the Alabama Crimson.
I feel like I'm a bully tonight.
You talk about giving soft cupcake schedules. So here's Notre Dame's next year: Ohio State at Ohio State, at North Carolina, against BYU, against Clemson, at USC. Pretty sure that's a
USC. Come on, stop it! You just throwing a name out there because of name recognition. Those first four, I give you that, but that's next year. That's not this year. That's not Toledo. That's not
next
Cincinnati.
Year. Guaranteed.
It's gonna be a quick turnaround with USC.
They are maybe even top 10, guaranteed.
Well, okay.
I cannot wait
till next year.
Just saying,
my point in all of this, the SEC is not a joke. We can call it what we want. Best conference last 10 years. Period. Point blank. And
sure,
that
last 10 years, we talking about this.
Right. And this year, they're still the best conference.
Stop it.
They're still the best. The Big Ten is a bunch of mediocre guys beating up each other. Come on.
Damn.
Michigan State.
Did Penn State beat Auburn? They did.
Yep.
Listen, hey, Jonathan, a stop clock is right twice a day. Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, shoot.
You know what? I love you guys to death. Y'all get me fired up, man. I don't even get this fired up about Bama on the call.
Include me and Brandon. If Alabama wins, include me and Brandon in your hate speech.
No, I won't. Because here's why I won't. Because you guys aren't gonna go tagging me 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, we don't do that.
I only mentioned those guys that were tagging me in that situation, and then all of a sudden they're all Georgia fans. I'm telling you, if you don't get Bama this year, and I'm going to leave it with this. If you don't get Bama this year, you ain't going to get them. Next year, ain't going to get them.
Okay.
You better get them now.
It has been the Alabama half hour.
Oh, Lord. No, it's not. Jonathan, you know you're not right. But listen, I promise you, I will call. Oh, we got the Knicks next week. Are you all on Wednesday next week?
I do believe so.
Yes, I believe so.
We got the Knicks next week, so I'll have to hit you guys as I'm pulling in the Banker's Life.
Sounds good.
Absolutely. So listen, you guys, again, love the show. I'm going to listen, but I'm going to tell you, Georgia, and I'm taking the 6 points, by the way, just so you all know. I'm taking Georgia in the 6.
All right. Appreciate D-Cott. Take care, buddy.
You guys be safe. Take care. Have a good night.
All right. Woo! John. You know what?
But here's the thing, Brandon. It's like that.
You get fired up. You know you're in the wrong, and you're trying to.
Like that with all Alabama. It's like that with all Alabama folks, man. Like, it's Alabama, and then they shifted to where we play in the toughest conference the last 10 years. I'm like, dude, we talking about this year.
Hey, Hey, that schedule at New Mexico State. Woo! And Austin Peay next year.
That's the quirky thing about overall, not necessarily just Alabama. You know, all the big Power Five schools play, you know, their preseason is like, come on, man. Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan, and I'm picking on Michigan right now. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I kind of lost my mind when everybody was saying Cincinnati don't play nobody. Because Cincinnati plays two or three more nobodies, okay. It's not okay, but it's okay for Michigan and Alabama. When they play New Mexico State and, you know, Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan, you know, the bottom barrel of the MAC, come on, man. It doesn't make sense. But that's how you program, Bill. That's how you kind of keep your name, you know what I'm saying, when you blow out those teams on a Saturday. You keep your people thinking that, oh, man, Alabama is going to be right there in the top four, top five mix. Yep.
Okay. We're going to bring in our guy now, Tanner Penrod. What's going on, Tanner? How are you?
Well, that's good, fellas. How's it going?
Oh,
dude,
you know,
how's it going?
That our Alabama stands.
I was listening. I heard him over there bump gums.
Oh man, Tanner, what a game! What games we had last week? I think if I bring it up on my phone or bring it on the computer here, I went 4-5. Jonathan went 5-4. Tanner went 6-3. So Jonathan just with a 2-game lead now on Tanner.
Oof, needed.
6 game up on me. 6 up game on me. We still got conference championships this week, and then we have bowl season. So looking forward to that. Let's see here. Let's dive in. By the way, real quick, Tanner, before we get into college football with it, are your boys going to beat Michigan tonight?
We'll probably take care of business, unlike somebody last night blowing big leads, son.
That was a huge, you know what I'm saying, on the Mike Krzyzewski tour, Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? Comes back and beats the Dukies, man. I accept it. I accept it, Tanner, man. Whatever. I woke up to about seven trolls from you on my Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah.
About Duke laying an egg.
When Duke loses, America wins, baby. That's how it is, baby.
No, America cries. America cries when Duke loses.
John, they're really missing. You listen to a pure shooter in the corner besides Joey Baker. They got to have somebody else that can step up and be a pure shooter from the outside than just Joey Baker. Joey Baker's going to get you 1 or 2 threes. That's it, though. They need to have somebody else step that up. And the fact that Poncho, or I can't even say his name right.
Yeah.
That dude, John.
They
said that dude loses 7 pounds every game because of sweat. He's going to be like 20 pounds by the end of March Madness.
No. That's the truth. He better get at least 4,000 carbs in him a day.
Good Lord. Crazy. All right, boys.
Yeah.
Football. Pick'em. Pick'em's been great all season with you two. We've had great times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had a great time calling in.
Let's dive in. Let's dive right big into it. We've got the ACC championship game. The Pitt Panthers. 3-point favorites over Wake Forest. John, who do you like?
I like both these quarterbacks in here to put up big numbers. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I also think we're going to see both these quarterbacks on Sunday coming up here real soon. We'll see them with some NFL squad for darn sure. Between those two particular teams, man, you're talking about, you know, some arena football type of numbers they can kind of put up. Wake Forest ain't got no defense whatsoever. I don't think they really want to.
Yep.
They just want to get the ball last. That's kind of how their mindset is. With that being said, I think Pitt is the most complete team. Even though they had a bad loss early on this season against against a mid-level MAC team. But I think Pitt is the most complete team in the ACC, and it's kind of a piece of why they're here. So I'm going with Pitt.
Tanner?
I back everything John said. Great, great two quarterbacks they got there. I know the dude from Pitt. I'll butcher his last name. Starts with a P, I think. He's been like fifth or sixth in the Heisman. I know he's been putting up some numbers. I watched that Wake Forest UNC game. It was probably one of the games that gets probably unmentioned the most. It was a great. That was one of the best college football games I watched all season long. But it goes back to Jonathan saying there was no defense being played. I mean, it was just a shootout. I mean, and I feel like that's what the world's coming to these days. They don't want any defense. They'd rather just see these shootouts. But and UNC prevailed in that game. But I really like Wake Forest. I'm going to take Wake Forest. I'm going to go against John here. I know he's got some I got some ground to go. I like Wake. I saw what they've done a couple of times. Give me the 3 points. Give me the Demon Deacons, probably the first time and last time you'll ever hear me say that.
Okay. We got one with Pitt, one with Wake Forest. Looks like I'm the tie-breaking vote here. As much as I like Pitt's quarterback and them, how they've done this season, how a future quarterback's probably going to be hopefully my Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, I'm going to go Wake Forest here. I think Wake Forest has had more of the complete season where – I know they laid an egg or so this year, but I think I've seen they've been able to handle the most pressure with that ranking that they've had, and they've shown the most consistency all season long. if I'm getting 3 points with Wake, I'm going to take Wake Forest as well, plus the 3 against Pitt in the ACC championship. Moving ahead, Houston, the 8 athletic American Athletic Conference. Houston versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a 10.5 point favorite. Tanner, who do you like in that one? Big one.
Big one. Houston's won 11 straight. Took a loss at the beginning to, I believe, Texas Tech. I think Cincinnati might have a lot on their mind. That coach might be on the rope somewhere. I don't think mindset might. I mean, they got a lot more to play for. They know if they win, they have a great chance of making that playoff. I think they have a lot more pressure on them. And with that being said, give me the Cougars and give me Houston in 10.5.
All right. I'm going to take Houston plus 10.5 as well. I like Houston in this one to at least keep it a close game. Like you said, I think Fickell's mind is looking up at South Bend on his mind. Instead of George on your song, South Bend's on his mind. I like Houston here, plus 10.5 to cover. Cincinnati may win the game still, but I think Houston covers the spread. I think they've definitely improved. Like you said, they lost that first game, especially with Dana Holtman. Down there, or Holgerson down there. I like him. I think we get a little bit of shakeup maybe in college football, even if Houston can pull it off. So I've got the Houston Cougs.
Luke Fickell ain't going nowhere other than to the Big 12 next year. Okay. With that being said, I don't know if it's going to be with Cincinnati or Oklahoma. We don't know just yet. But I think he has his team's mind thoroughly set on they're going to be playing for a national championship, whether it's against whomever, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, all that will shake out for them at some point. But they put together a great enough resume, you know what I'm saying? I get it. Some people think that they're holding on to that one win against Notre Dame. I watch pretty much 80% of their games. I still consider the IU win pretty good for them, even though IU took a crap this year. They beat IU in Bloomington. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to beat anybody. You know what I'm saying? I think it might have even been a homecoming game for IU. But with that, all that being said, I think Luke Fickell he's got the team head in the right direction. Playing for a national championship versus what he could potentially get at some other school. Yeah, I get that. I'll be honest with you, Tanner and Brandon. If Ryan Day wasn't at Ohio State and Ohio State was open, I think he would probably be headed there with him being he actually was an assistant. And, hell, he played for – I do believe played for Ohio State at one point.
He was an interim head coach, too, I believe, wasn't he?
I think that would be – yeah, that would be where –
yeah, he was an assistant.
Yeah, that would be where he'd be headed at. But I think with Cincinnati, you know, going to bigger, broader horizons next year with the Big 12 and whatnot, or a year after, whatever it is, I think, and like I said, they're playing for the opportunity to win that championship. Again, that quarterback, his himself, I know we pride ourselves. We kind of, you know what I'm saying, talk about the last two quarterbacks playing for Wake Forest and Pitt. This quarterback, Rittenhour, is going to be right there potentially in the first round of his darn self. So when he decides that, well, he's his senior this year. So again, I think they handle business. I think they blow out Houston, to be honest with you. I think they blow them out, and I'm going with Cincinnati.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if Urban Meyer just comes up to Ohio State to Ryan Day and just says, "Hey, you're back as the assistant. I'm taking over. You lost to Michigan."
No.
I didn't. Urban never lost to Michigan. Urban never lost to him.
That's why Urban Meyer's not going to Notre Dame. I don't think there's enough women for him to see up there. So he's got to stay down there in Jacksonville.
Oh, Lordy. All right. Big 12 championship. Baylor at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State. Right there, guys, on the cusp of the college football playoff. Oklahoma State minus 5.5 against number 9 Baylor. Be a huge top 10 game right here between these two. Give me Oklahoma State and Gundy. They got over the hump of Oklahoma. They got Lincoln out of town. Give me the Pokes minus 5.5.
I'll go. I'm kind of tossed up. I was on Oklahoma State till I got on this phone call, and then I'm like, do I like Baylor? And then I looked at their head-to-head matchups. They both played Oklahoma at home. Baylor beat them a little bit more handily. Oklahoma State needs the win to get in. Oklahoma State. You know what? It's probably going to come back and bite me. Give me the Bears. Give me the 5.5. I think Oklahoma State wins this game, but I think those Baylor Bears play them tough and make it a closer game than it should, than the Cowboys want it to be. So give me the Bears. Give me the points. I'll take them.
Okay. John?
I'm going with Oklahoma State. I actually thought that coach was going to be considered for the USC job, considering he's from California and he's had some stints at Boise. He's had some stints on the West Coast already. But since that job has been taken over, right, it's going to be weird to see. It's going to be weird to see Oklahoma in the Big 12 ball by itself without Oklahoma and Texas in the next two seasons or whatever. That kind of right there kind of shows that. That maybe there's a new change in the guard. Maybe Baylor and Oklahoma State are the ones that are going to kind of lead the Big 12 going into the future. That being said, I think, you know what I'm saying, this coach has got this program going in the right direction. To be considered, this game means more to them than it does to Baylor. I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying, hell, Baylor win a national championship in basketball, you know what I'm saying, they want to pride themselves. They want to, you know what I'm saying, make their leg claim to being, you know what I'm saying, both, you know what I'm saying, great in both sports, right? Like I said, I just think Oklahoma State, outside of that, they had a poor loss against, they lost to Iowa State, I believe, sometime midseason. I think if they can play that game over, they blow out Iowa State by like 40. You know what I mean? They are air out team to themselves. Like I said, I'm going to Oklahoma State because they're hoping that somebody slips out. And that it kind of becomes like a toss-up between them and the Pac-12 champion. And I think, that, you know what I'm saying, with what I know about the various conferences, I think the Big 12 is a little bit better than the Pac-12 this year. So I'm going to Oklahoma State.
You know, some idiot on Twitter the other day to me said, why wouldn't Oklahoma go out and get Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State and just pay him the bag to bring him in as head coach to be the Sooners head coach? I said, would you bring in somebody that you went 14-3 against in your rivalry? He's only won 3 out of 17 games against you. You want to bring that guy? The hell does he bring to the table for that? They got other fish they can get. So just Oklahoma fans just right now just struggling. I think they're trying to find their identity because everybody's leaving them. So, but yeah, tell me that.
Man. Lincoln Riley got the bag brought to him to USC. If he didn't see all that stuff, he got to him. Buying those houses, private jet access. They're buying him a house out in L.A. too. I mean, do that to me, if I'm any coach, I'm out. Everyone else better step their game up because USC just threw the whole damn kitchen sink at him. And now that's going to be the standard.
Yeah. Next game, Pac-12 championship, Oregon versus Utah. Utah this time. 2.5-point favorites. These two teams just played recently. Utah got the win to knock Oregon down, who was number 3 at the time in the college football playoff. Utah-Oregon. I think Oregon recovers here and knocks off Utah. This game being on a neutral field. I like Oregon plus the 2.5.
Oh, I'm going to go against you, not so fast. I think Oregon's pretty – that quarterback, when he has to throw, is not pretty for him. And I'm not – I'll butcher the dude's last name, but number 5 on Oregon's defense, I think he's still a little banged up. I don't think he's back full strength.
Yeah.
He's their heart and soul of that defense. So I know it's on neutral site, but I don't think a neutral site matters because they absolutely buried their ass the last time they played them. I think it'll be a little bit closer, but give me the Utes. Give me -2.5. I think they'll claim a Pac-12 championship for them. Be good for the school. So, yeah, give me the Utes, and I'll lay the 2.5.
John?
Man, last week when Tanner took Michigan State over Penn State, I damn near wanted to go back and change my pick
from Penn State over Michigan State. I'm going with Brandon. I'm sorry, man. Oregon all year has been the class, the heading class of the Pac-12, but they kind of slowed their pace. Even though they had a blowout this weekend, they kind of slowed their pace as far as like and I would say they've slowed their pace while Utah has gained ground. They've looked better since they lost. I think they lost an early game against Arizona State, I believe. But with all that being said, man, I'm going with Utah. I think Utah represents the Pac-12 as their champion.
Okay, perfect. Give me one second here. I lost my thing. last two big ones: Big Ten Championship, yep. Iowa versus Michigan. Michigan, Harbaugh finally got over Ohio State, got the big one. Iowa coming to town. Iowa backed their way into this title game with Penn State losing, or excuse me, with Wisconsin losing. Minnesota, Michigan, 10.5-point favorites. I like Michigan here to just beat Iowa's ass this week.
Ooh. I'll go quick with you too. I'm first time I think I've took Michigan all year, and what they did last week to make a fool out of all of us on that.
Ohio, rivalry game.
I mean, they embarrassed us all. I didn't even see that coming. I mean, the bookies cleaned up. Everybody cleaned up there, including Michigan, and that. I didn't think they couldn't ask for better weather. I mean, they ran the damn ball right down Ohio State's throat. That coach made zero adjustments during that game on the defense. I mean, they controlled that whole game. I mean, they made Stroud look like a chump back there in the pocket. So, if they play like that, I'm with you, Reeve. I think they just actually pound them. I think they could win, but I feel like it's going to be like an Ohio State when they're in the Big 12. I mean, the Big Ten Championship. They just pound people into a next level, and I can see that happening again this year. I think Michigan absolutely dog walks Iowa this weekend.
John?
Yeah, Indianapolis is like a second home to Jim Harbaugh with his days. If anybody remembers his days as a Colt, playing for the Indianapolis Colts here in the early 90s. Man, if this was the Iowa team that we saw the first 4 weeks, man, I thought we would be into like a rock fight between them and Michigan. But they backed their way, like Brandon said, backed their way back into this championship game. I don't think they have enough to win it. The Michigan quarterback, I mean, I go, you know, the Michigan quarterback ain't going to make it look pretty because he's just okay his damn self. I think Michigan has enough defense and definitely enough run support. The same way they beat Ohio State, they got enough, you know, some defense and run support that they'll win on. It'll be close, but I like Michigan to at least cover.
Okay, and then the big one.
I think that Aiden Hutchinson and that other DN are just going to eat. If Iowa gets behind, those defensive ends for Michigan are absolutely just going to eat up Iowa.
I don't trust the quarterback from Iowa. I don't.
Yep.
So, how he did against Purdue,
if
I don't.
Pressure there, it's bad. Yeah, Hutchinson's going to have a feast.
Okay, final game, guys, the big one. Georgia versus Alabama, SEC championship on the line. Number one, Georgia. Number three, Alabama. Georgia started out as 7-point favorites. It's down to 6.5 now. Who wants to lead this one off? Jonathan, we'll give it to you. You haven't started one yet. Georgia, Alabama. Georgia, 6.5.
I'm going with Georgia, man. Kirby Smart's not going to choke. He's been number one basically, you know, I don't know, 11 out of 12 weeks, right? There's no way that he's going to, you know what I'm saying, F this one up. So I'm going with Georgia.
Tanner.
I'll go quick with him too. I saw Alabama. They cooked all of us last week. They didn't look very good. I think that wide receiver gets to play the whole game because I think he got ejected in the first half. So he'll be back, but I think that running back for Robinson's banged up. I mean, they struggled to get it together against Auburn, who I think's having a pretty down year for Auburn standards. And Bama, I know it was a rivalry game and on the road, but They didn't impress me coming into this big game. They might have been looking ahead. It could have been a trap game for them, which I didn't think of, which probably was. I don't think Saban will probably have that receiver on that special teams this week, playing out there to level anybody on punt returns. I like Kirby Smart. The quarterback's got a great story. He went there. He transferred to a JUCO that he came back. The quarterback right now for Georgia. Their defense is outstanding. They shut out Georgia Tech. That's not saying much. Notre Dame. I mean, Georgia Tech got absolutely 55-0 to Notre Dame, then a 45-0 to Georgia. I mean, they got 100 points put on them, and they scored 0 2 weeks in a row. That's got to be demoralizing for Georgia Tech fans down there. But I think Georgia's defense, and if it plays good, I mean, you saw what Auburn's defense played, how they played against Alabama. Georgia's defense is way more to another level than Auburn's. And if they bring that same defense and Alabama brings that mediocre offensive game they brought last week, they could get ran out of that stadium by 15-plus. So, yeah, under a touchdown, give me the Bulldogs. Give me Kirby Smart. I think they get to the title game, which they deserve. It's been a while for them. So let's go Bulldogs.
Okay. I'm going to go with Georgia as well. I've been on Georgia at the beginning of the season. Before the season started, I gave John my prediction of Oklahoma and Georgia in the national championship. I'd be stupid to go against Georgia now. I said they're probably one of the best top two teams in the league, in the country. They've done it. I'm taking Georgia here. It's below a touchdown. Perfect. Give me that so they can win by 7. I just think Alabama, can they score? Yes. I just think when you look at the X factors, Georgia defense versus this Alabama defense that's not been so great, Georgia's got that X factor. I like the Bulldogs and Kirby Smarter than to claim that SEC championship and go right into the college football playoff. So, all right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Tanner, we got to get going. We got to do our commercial break before another guest comes on.
I appreciate you guys having me on. I know we probably don't have much time, but we'll get together on here before season's over. We'll discuss some more games. We'll be back. But like I said, Tar Heels are on tonight. It's the one time Michigan might lose this week. Might not be in football, but they're going to go down tonight. The true team from North Carolina will come on top this week. Yeah, soon.
All right. Take care, T.
All right. See ya.
See ya. All right. Tanner Penrod, our guy. John, a couple quick ad reads. We come back, we'll talk and get our special guest on.
Yep.
You can use thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, play hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Like I said, they ship worldwide, custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Give them a call, 833-SHOT-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Or check them out, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. It's the holiday season. They probably still got some Black Friday deals going on. Shop for your friends, your family, and yourself. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com.
And we also want to thank our third sponsor, Wiseman Logistics. That's Wiseman Logistics. Wiseman Logistics is an Amazon delivery service partner. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your package 7 days a week, 365 days a year, both commercial and domestic. So if anybody looking to ship out, you know what I'm saying, last-minute Christmas items or even, you know what I'm saying, Hanukkah, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, you know, I don't want to offend our, you know what I'm saying, leave out anybody in this holiday season, they're your go-to. And anybody in the indie market looking for a job, call this number, 1-877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics is hiring. That's 1-877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
Perfect. All right, John, do you want to introduce our special guest we've got today?
Well, yeah, man. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, Jake Ullman, welcome to the Crossroads Sports Show.
Oh, thank you guys for having me on.
Dude, so just being totally transparent with you, so like me and Brandon went to the AEW show, the last AEW show, which was like a couple weeks ago. And
yeah.
there were two gentlemen out passing out leaflets, passing out, you know what I'm saying, promotional items about the White
yeah,
River
for sure.
Wrestling, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, I'm sure you know who those guys are, but they were very nice, and you know what I'm saying? They weren't like normal. They didn't do it paperboard style. I'm like, here, man, you know what I'm saying? They very kind of were very informative, you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how I got to know about yourself, Jake Ullman, and about the White River Wrestling organization that you represent, man. So again, thanks for coming on to the show. I wanted to just give everybody a little bit of background. We're talking to a 15-year pro who's wrestled from Indiana to Japan and parts in between. Am I right in that assessment?
Absolutely. Yeah. 15 years strong. Yeah, and I, you know, the first few years, it was kind of more of a hobby. I didn't take it super seriously. So usually I tell people, 10 years of really being out and hustling.
Okay. Tell me,
yeah.
So how does one go from, like, how does one go from, I don't want to say backyard, but, like, when I was a kid, wrestling with my cousin in the living room or jumping off, whatever, how does one go from that type of, you know what I'm saying, fantasy dream to making the actual pro wrestling dream come true?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, now, luckily, you know, people, I think, can get on the internet and find all that information pretty quick. But, you know, back when I was breaking in, it wasn't quite like that, right? So it was just kind of, I feel like you existed until some random person told you there was an indie show coming up. And then you went and you just decided, hey, I'm going to bug these wrestlers and really annoy them, and hopefully they'll tell me what I need to know as far as how to get in. You know, when I was younger, I don't think people really knew there was no wrestling schools so much, whereas now the indie wrestling world's kind of inundated with schools and people telling you, hey, train here, if you want to do this, you can do it, you know.
Okay, so how does one let me ask you this. So how do you, I mean, you, I'll be honest with you, Jake, you're not our first wrestler we kind of talked to, so we do know a little bit about the indie circuit. What does your training regimen kind of look like? How does that look, and how do you maintain being in shape and being ready, prepared, either, you know, for a potential match or even potential like tryout with a bigger organization?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, when I first started, it was pretty simple, and I'd go to my training school and I would just train, you know, 2-3 times a week for a couple hours. And honestly, I thought that was a lot. And then later I realized, oh no, like if you want to be like a professional at the highest level, you need to be putting in 3, 4, 5 hours of work every day in some regard. And then, so that's how I started training. You know, I'd break it up into training twice a day. You know, I'd be doing cardio once a day and usually weights once a day. And if one of those days I could get to a ring or get to a training session or something like that, that would take the place of, say, that cardio session, right? And then in 2016, I got to go to Japan for the first time, and I saw how they did it, which is pretty much the same. There's you have your 3-hour in-ring session every day, then you have your 2-hour either weight room session or MMA session every day, and it's that 5 hours of work that you have to put in. And so that's how I still train to this day, although now, you know, sometimes juggling stuff like promoting my own shows or running my own wrestling school kind of make it difficult to find that time. That's still what I have to do, is, you know, 2 really solid training sessions a day.
I listened to an interview where you said work hard, and somebody gave you this advice that work hard and put yourself in a good situation. Could you tell me who, have you remembered that? Because like I said, you said it. Who told you that? And like, what is, like, how do you put that in your day to day? Work hard and make sure you put yourself in a good situation.
Yeah, you know, I wish I could actually remember who told me that. I don't remember.
I think it was an interview that you had with this is our show. I don't want to shout out anybody else's show, but I think it was somebody. I think you said William Regal told you that. Said work hard and put yourself in a good situation.
Well, you know, luckily, I'm fortunate enough that I got to meet William Regal in 2016, and he's given me a ton of great advice, which has made me the performer I am now. But, you know, actually I got that advice, which was, hey, just keep working hard and eventually they'll need you. I mean, so, you know, if you just keep working hard and keep your nose clean, like eventually some big company will need you. They'll seek you out. They'll find you, right? And I didn't go to a great training school at first. So any type of words of wisdom I got were actually from pretty unlikely sources or people that maybe, you know, didn't succeed and just did low-level indies for a long time. But they threw that gem of advice in there, which is, hey, work hard. Someone will need you. And I kept that in the back of my head for years whenever, you know, the struggle of being on the road really started getting to me. I just had to say, hey, eventually someone's going to need me.
Okay. So, Jake, like I said, thanks for joining us. I got a couple questions for you. One, I was watching some of your matches. Luckily, thank God, a lot of stuff is available now, readily available for the indie market to see on YouTube and Facebook and things like that. How did you model your wrestling after? Because you kind of got a little bit of the high flyer and also got kind of some of the power. I just wonder who you kind of model your wrestling, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, Mach. For sure. Like, well, you know, I have a whole world of influences. I actually didn't start watching wrestling until I was 13, and I was flipping around one day and I came across SmackDown, and it was right after WrestleMania 2000. And the guys I was drawn to immediately were Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle. So those were the guys right away that I was drawn to, kind of those guys that were in the Intercontinental title scene. So, right. And the guys I looked at as like the best pure athletes on the roster. And like, I even, not like I was a smart fan at all, but even as a 13-year-old kid who'd never seen wrestling, I could tell like these are the best athletes. So I kind of started modeling myself after those guys. You know, nice, intense style when it came to grappling, but, you know, fast and explosive when they needed to be. So, you know, I always tell people, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, those were the guys that really influenced my style. And it's funny that you said a little bit of high flying, because I usually hear that a lot, but I actually don't do any high flying. But with the way I wrestle my style, like the way I move explosively and intensely throughout the ring, I feel like people just kind of make that connection. And then I work really well with high flying guys. So I get put in there with a lot of high flying guys where I'm kind of, I don't want to say the glue that holds together the match, but I like to think I'm a very important component of making sure our story is on point. So actually I do hear that a lot, but those are my big influences.
Okay. Like you said, you've been a wrestling veteran now for 15 plus years or so. Yeah, and I heard another interview where you kind of talked about how you're evolving from wrestling. Obviously, you talk about, you know, training new guys, getting them up in the business and going. How soon into training a new wrestler do you realize or do you have a feel that, hey, this person's got it or this person's just, they're not going to get it?
You know, it's weird to say, but I feel like I can tell from day one. I feel like I can tell from training session number one if that person's going to succeed or not. But it really comes down to their heart. You know, if you look at somebody and you can tell they're going to quit or they're not going to quit and they can't. Whereas I have one or two students who are not naturally athletic at all, and they're having a lot of trouble with the basics, just regular rolls and footwork and stuff like that. And I think, hey, I don't know if they're ever going to fully understand and get this aspect, but I can tell that they are going to work until they do, regardless of how long it takes. Whereas I've had a good handful of students also start with me and do one or two training sessions. And while they were great athletes, looked the part and all the stuff looked good, I could just tell mentally they're not in it for the long haul, or there's something about this that they're not going to dig. So I can usually tell from training session one or two. And I would never tell somebody right away anything like that. I would never air that opinion because I would hope I'm wrong if that's the case, right? However, I've yet to be proven wrong in that regard. And some of my two really unathletic students right now, they're 3 or 4 months in, and now they're finally getting the basics, which is awesome because I didn't know if they would get there, but I knew they wouldn't quit, and that was the important thing, and I'm super proud of them for that.
What's your thoughts on the current product that's out there now with, let's say, the two highest ones, AEW and WWE? Both kind of one building, continuing to build their brand, one trying to sustain. What's your thoughts on how to put their product in?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of that question.
No, I'm just asking what your thoughts are on the current product, the state of the current product.
For sure. You know, I love the current AEW product. I think it's super exciting to watch, and I think they have the guys who are truly passionate about the business. And I can tell that right away because I love the business so much. And I love watching those guys that are truly passionate about it and the guys that put in that kind of work and devoted their life to wrestling, right? So I love watching that product. I do think they have some stuff they can work on, right? But they're a young company, and there's going to be growing pains. And there's a guy in charge that hasn't grown up in wrestling. And a lot of my knowledge I've gotten because I've been around for 15 years. You know, a lot of the stuff I didn't start understanding until year 8 or 9 or 10. So I think the fact that they're 3 years in and coming up to speed so fast really speaks volumes for the company, right? So I think the AEW product is very exciting, and I love that they have so many great veteran guys right there now to teach people like Danielson and Punk and Bobby Fish, who's like one of my favorite dudes to watch. Even Rocky Romero's there some now, and those are the dudes I really respect and appreciate. And then, I mean, honestly, I don't like the WWE product right now. I think that they've taken away some of the key components, which are they've taken away some of the guys that have that passion for the business. And I think if you are trying to put on a product where guys aren't passionate about professional wrestling, that it will shine through, right? And they have some amazing talents and dudes that you can tell are passionate. Like the Roman Reigns is amazing. And Finn Balor is one of the, in my opinion, the best there is, you know, or the AJ Styles is one of the greatest of all time. It's like they have those guys, right? But I don't think you can just take an athlete from any sport and then put them in there and not be surprised when the passion doesn't shine through. So I'm not a huge fan of the current WWE product at the minute. NXT's product, you know, 6 or 8 months ago was my favorite product in the game. And then that got a complete overhaul. And I feel like they let go of a lot of guys that could have made them a lot of money, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree with you 100% on that. I thought that product now, I thought it was a drastic change for them to try to counter AEW's product, and it's just, it completely flopped for what they were trying to do. It lost a lot of viewers and a lot of good wrestlers out there as well. So
They were snatching up all these promising independent talents. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is going a much different direction. And then before you know it, they caught them all. So I just don't understand the thought process.
Yeah, I no clue there. It's hopefully they can get it back. I'll ask one more, and then we'll go to John. Now, this is the nitty-gritty. Sure. I want to get down to the nitty-gritty question here. So,
please.
You've got a match coming up on the 12th of December.
Yep.
The Squared Circle Expo Championship match. Jake, you're facing a big dude. Jake, now you're a big dude yourself, but this guy, Jake something. His matches. My goodness. What's the game plan in this match to make sure you lead with your title?
You can have all the game plans in the world, and then you get in there with a guy like Jens something, and they just kind of disappear, right? So I'm not even going to say there's a game plan. I know what Jake can do. You know, I've known Jake for 12, 13 years now. I think Jake something was one of the most underrated talents on the professional wrestling scene for the last 5 years. He's incredible. He's a mammoth. He can move quickly. He's explosive. He can fly when he needs to fly. So, I think he's an underrated dude who people are just now learning about. Luckily, I have known about him for years. So I'm maybe not as intimidated or taken aback as a lot of people would be in that situation.
Right. So you got him well scouted. I got it.
Yeah.
So,
who we're pulling for. We're pulling for you, so.
Absolutely. No. Absolutely. So, Jake, so like Brandon alluded to, you have a big match coming up. I wanted to ask you, because I just learned about the White River Wrestling organization and the whole, you know what I'm saying, the whole situation you have down at the Fowling Warehouse down on Brookside Avenue. How did that kind of all come together? One, can you speak to the venue? One, because again, I just like, dude, I'm an East Sider, didn't know anything about them running shows out of there. And then can you tell me a little bit about White River Wrestling?
For sure. You know, I think that it's been a travesty for a long time that Indianapolis hasn't had a high-level professional wrestling company. I think, okay, you know, from a logistics standpoint, Indianapolis is easy access to the entire Midwest. We have great airport. We have great road systems, right? There's no reason that there shouldn't be something awesome going on here. We're close to Chicago, Cincinnati, Detroit, all places where there's great professional wrestling. So in 2013, I decided, you know, I'm gonna try and spearhead this myself. I'm going to start something that's Indianapolis-based, Indianapolis-grown, and puts on the best professional wrestling show in Indiana. And it's hard to balance my professional career with my career promoting, right? It's hard to give 100% to two things at once. So, you know, this will be probably the 35th or 36th show over the last 8-9 years, right? It's only a few shows every year. But I'm hoping it's something that can kind of catch on. And most of the last years actually were up in Hamilton County instead of in Marion County. So this is actually only the second show that's taken place at the Pullen Warehouse there off of Mass Ave and Brookside Avenue. So, you know, the heart of downtown like that hasn't seen anything in a long time besides, you know, the occasional Raw or the occasional NXT or AEW that comes to town. And that's a whole different ball game, right? That's not an Indianapolis thing. So I'm hoping that something can really be, and the show that White River Wrestling had in June packed the house, and it was a great venue. It was great to work with them. It was, you know, loud as hell and cool on the inside. And the show from top to bottom I thought was just stellar. And I have, you know, every feeling in the world that this one's going to be even better, right? So it's just, I think White River Wrestling is the thing over the next few years that's going to kind of grow, especially as I transition maybe away from the wrestling aspect personally so much and kind of sink more into the promoting aspect.
Gotcha. Okay.
Tell our audience, be sure to check it out. Sunday, December 12th, Fowling Warehouse. It's 1125 East Brookside Avenue. It's on the Facebook Live right now. I've got the promo picture up. Check them out. Doors open at 2 p.m. Bell time starts at 3. You get your VIP tables for $180 up to 6 people. Your admission, $20. All ages can come on in. No outside drinks. Buy your drinks inside. And come have a great, fun time of wrestling. John, I'm going to look at my schedule. If I'm off that day from work, I'm going to go. I'm going.
Oh, please come out. You know, and like I said, I firmly believe that White River Wrestling is the best independent show in Indiana. And if you come out and you disagree with me, you let me know. I'll give you your money back. You know, so I've been around long enough where I know the great talent and I know how to use the great talent. You know, sometimes shows, they can even bring in a lot of great talent. They just have no idea how to use them or no idea how to match it up or make it exciting for the crowd. There's so much that goes into the business behind the scenes that people just don't understand. And I'm lucky enough that through the years, I've developed personal relationships with all of these people. So it's easy to work with people you trust. And there's just a hell of a core of people I have at White River Wrestling. And it's great. And, you know, actually, the first show we did at the Fulham Warehouse off Mass Ave there went so well in June that all the VIP tables for this one actually sold immediately. So now we only have general admission left even, which is a really cool feeling when we're 2 weeks out from a show.
Okay. Jake, Brandon's going to look at his schedule. I already know what my schedule is. I'm going to be there to see what you got.
Oh, yeah, man.
Said they want to go.
Hopefully you recognize – I'll introduce myself, but hopefully you recognize the voice. And like I said, we wishing you nothing but the best. And anytime, brother, you want to promote anything, you know what I'm saying, all you got to do is ask, let us know, and you can come on. And now, because now you're an official friend of the program.
Oh, dude, I really appreciate it, guys. And, yeah, the day of the show, my mind will be 20 places at once, and I won't be able to think straight. So even if you tell me who you are, it's probably going to take a minute to connect. But, dude, I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's a great talking to you. And, I hope you guys get to come out and enjoy the show. I look forward to hearing the feedback.
Awesome. Thanks, Jay. Best of luck, buddy.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Jake Ullman, wrestler. Can't wait. Indie local wrestler. Defending the title against Jake Something. Jake Something's a beast, but I think Jake Ullman's going to pull it out, John. I just have that feeling. So can't wait for that show. John, we've got about 8 minutes left. My goodness, we still got a lot of stuff to talk about. But I want to call out one of my guys here. I want to call out. Give me a second here. I know I ran out of time, but I took a picture today on Twitter because there was something that I saw. I want to call out Reggie Sykes. John, he owes me an apology for the Indiana Pacers for what they've done and how much they're 13th out of 15th, 9-14 on the year. And then he keeps telling me, and I know he keeps saying it. He said it how many times we say it? This guy has more excuses than excuses. Talking about injuries and, well, this guy's out or LeVert was out and then now TJ's out or Miles out. I understand that, okay? And I told you we can't keep using these injuries as a crutch. We can't keep using this wait till we get our team together. Wait till we get our team. How long are we going to wait?
Right.
Happen, you know? For instance, I saw somebody on Facebook, on Twitter today said, one thing, if you're trying to assess your teams, it's probably time to stop with the injury considerations night to night. You can look big picture, but no one's healthy in the league. Look around it. And for instance,
right.
I looked at the Indiana Pacers. For all the setbacks that the Indiana Pacers have had and have been up against us, we've also caught a lot of breaks. When we faced the Lakers, there was no AD. When we faced the Sixers, there was no Embiid. When we faced the Nuggets, there was no Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., or Jamal Murray. When we faced the Wizards, there was no Bradley Beal. When we faced the Heat, there was no Kyle Lowry. When we took on the Bulls, there was no Vucevic. When we took on the Raptors, there's no OG Anunoby. So the injury excuse needs to just stop because everybody's having the same injuries, okay? Find a way to win. And as I told you on Twitter and I tagged Reggie in it, we have good guys. We have good guys. The problem is this team does not know how to gel consistently and produce wins. And at some point, we just have to cut it off because we can't keep saying what if, what if, what if. All these other teams I just mentioned are adapting with these injuries. We need to figure out how to do it as well.
Right. It was like I said, man, a couple weeks ago, and I know we're kind of up against it, man, that Portland loss and there was another loss we had. The Denver loss, like, again, that doesn't necessarily still put us at 500, but you need those. Like, when you look back at those games that the Pacers were up going into the fourth quarter and then had a fourth quarter meltdown the other day. Again, another fourth quarter meltdown. They were up 12, another fourth quarter meltdown. I get what Carlisle is saying. He wants to play with a large lead because he knows he doesn't have the guy. You know, he knows at some point all teams make a push. They put their best player, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, Frank Reich should be listening to this. They put the ball in their best player's hands and then they kind of let the guy go for it. I know football is a little different than basketball, but you get the analogy, right? With that being said, we don't necessarily have that. It's not necessarily great to put the ball in our best player is right now that we have is Sabonis. It's not necessarily great, a good job, you know what I'm saying, thinking to put his ball in his hand. He, you know what I'm saying, it's a turnover. He's kind of turnover prone in those kind of situations. Realistically, Brandon, on the championship team, he's probably the second or third best player on the championship team. With the Pacers team, he's the first best player. So with that being said, man, we have to kind of look at the guards and what the guard, the lead, and, you know what I'm saying, LeVert, get it broke. But, again, you're a professional. You're going to have to find, you know what I'm saying, how to get better shots, get better scoring for yourself, put yourself in better scoring position. Malcolm Brogdon, again, late in the clock, sometimes the ball kind of stops with him. Because he's thinking home run. I think, you know what I'm saying, he's thinking like, you know, I can get us out of this. And though he is a prolific scorer, he's not necessarily prolific, you know what I'm saying, again, every time out. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
He's a better distributor than he is prolific scorer. And he's put up, you know what I'm saying, numbers when he scored 25, 30 points. But, again, those a lot of times, those, you know what I'm saying, those games where the Pacers lose, you know. So
oh, yeah.
With that being said, I can't leave out Miles Turner. 40 points here, 17 points here, 4 points here, 5 points there. Again, consistency. A trade's not necessarily going to fix it. A trade would technically make it worse, to be honest with you, Brandon. Right now,
But going into the – if this persists to where they are five games under 500, and you don't want to be – you really don't want to be 500. If you're, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean? With, you know, the way the things are happening, you know what I'm saying? The way, you know, the Bucks ran up, you know what I'm saying, ran up a five-game win streak. Now they're sitting in fourth. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's probably going to be some type of change come the summertime if the Pacers – and I don't think they can – I don't want to – I'm not shoving dirt on the season. But if this is going to be a dangerous team, they'll where they just, you know, saying every now and then get two wins and then go on a four-game losing streak, during the summertime there'll be a change. And I'll leave it at that.
All right, John, you want to wrap us tonight, my man?
Yeah, man, Reggie Sox has been missed three shows, man. He's talked a lot of trash. He talked a lot of trash on our Twitter handles, right? And he's been missed three shows, three call-ins, so – you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to tag him on Facebook or anything like that, but I'm just going to leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? Reggie Sykes, you ain't the king of trolls no more, and you're not the number one caller anymore. Sorry. Outside of that, I want to say thank you for DCOC for calling. I want to say thank you for all the folks on Facebook Live. I know we had some technical difficulties early on in the broadcast, but thanks for, you know what I'm saying, hanging with us. Thanks for, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to go individual, but thanks for everybody who liked or shared, you know what I'm saying, or chimed in on the post today. Also want to say thank you to Jake Oman, Indianapolis elite wrestler, right? We're going to be at the show, at the White River Wrestling Show, the December 12th. I also want to say thank you to Purdue Athletics. I wasn't able to make it. Brandon was, you know what I'm saying? He had a great time, you know what I'm saying? He told you, great atmosphere. And he's there, and he was there working, right? So I want to say thank you to them as well, you know, with the media producers, all that. Guys, also say thank you to our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and Three Wiseman Logistics. We could not do this Crossroads Sports Show without them. Outside of that, Brandon, we'll see everybody again next Wednesday. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads sports content.